Well, this is sermon on a stick, so I'm just going to pass this basket around. This is how it works. You get to pick one. They're mostly different. There are some duplicates. It's exciting to see what the universe, what God has for you today. And then I'm just going to ask people to sort of, as we look at these, maybe to share one out loud if you'd like. Maybe I'll comment on it. Maybe you'll comment on it. Maybe you'll take it personally. Maybe it is a message directed specifically to you today. Maybe it means something special to you today. You know, I wonder why I got this one today. So, as it's still going around, any of you guys want to start who have already have one? I will read Sue's. Ah, thank you, Sue. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's acting in the face of fear. That's from Anonymous. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
I guessed that you would have. Yeah. So courage is not the absence of fear. It's acting, even though you are afraid, that you act anyway. I'm not going to ask you to comment on that, but it means something to you. Does that mean anything to anyone else? Has anyone ever been under the impression that courage means you're fearless? I think that's a false assumption, that people who act courageously really do have fear, but they act anyway. So, yeah.
My mom and I got the same one.
Really? I wonder
what... My vocation is love.
My vocation is love. Teresa of Lisieux, is that right? Lisieux. I wonder what that means.
It means that your inner self is true love.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, love is.
Yeah. Your essence and who you are and who you need to be and everything about you is love. there's a couple. There's a Thomas Merton one that's very similar to that. Does anyone have a Thomas Merton one that says, what does it say?
I believe that my desire to please you does in fact please you.
Yeah, that's part of his prayer. He has this prayer, a wonderful prayer. You've probably heard it if you've been around me at all. He says, I have no idea where I'm going. I don't even know if I'm doing your will, because I think I'm doing your will. It doesn't mean I'm doing your will. But I do believe that my desire to please you does in fact please you. But he also has one about, you know, my true essence is love. And I hesitate to share these because they just sound so nice, right? My vocation is love. But this is real. This is real stuff. This is to be Christian, to follow in Jesus' footsteps, is to affirm that love really is all, what we're all about. So... Thank you. Another Thomas Merton one. I should have warned you ahead of time. A lot of these will be Thomas Merton because I've been reading a lot of Thomas Merton this year. This was his 100th centenary, his centenary birthday year. What am I trying to say? It's the 100th year since his birth. He would have been 100, in other words, this year. Thomas Merton. In this quote that Carolyn shared, you know, that the world is transparent and that God's light is shining through everything. And then he has to go on to say, you know, I'm not just making this up. This is not just a story, a nice story or a fable. This is real. If we let go into God, we will see that God is shining in everything. I really like that one. Does that mean anything to you? Is it challenging or?
Challenging, because yeah. I don't see life as simple.
You don't see life, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad Brad got that. Did you get that one? Seriously? Why are we worshiping the teapot instead of drinking the tea. And the quote that that's attributed to wisdom teachers, that's just kind of a thought in wisdom teaching, especially in religious traditions. It's our wisdom teachers like Jesus who come along every 500 years or so and say, listen, why are you worshiping the teapot instead of drinking the tea? What does that mean? Brad? Yeah. Instead of doing the love that it's all about, drinking the tea. Yeah. We get caught up in the dogma, the structure, the outward appearance of things. Yeah. Instead of all that, I mean, we do all that instead of what the content of church and the doctrines and the beliefs and the hymns that we sing. What's the content? You know, the tea, the life-giving tea. And I think even, you can even take that as far as, why do we sing songs about Jesus? Why would anyone worship Jesus instead of following Jesus? Why sing about Jesus instead of trying to enact and love the way he did, which I think is what his invitation to us is always about? I don't think he... Right, right. That's another wisdom teacher's teaching, sort of version of the same thing. Why are you, the teachings that we have are a finger pointing at the moon. And we should be looking at the moon where the finger is pointing us instead of looking at the finger and say, ooh, this is the real finger. No, this finger is right. No, this finger is right. Where are the fingers pointing us? To God, to the source, to the life, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's Mark Twain, always good for a laugh. I have suffered many calamities in my life, none of which actually happened. Yeah. Why did I include that one? I think sometimes we just, we borrow a lot of trouble. We suffer a lot of calamities that really are not part of our life. But we think, you know, just thinking about them is a way to suffer through them. Maybe it's about being a victim. You know, why don't I set aside the victim? I had a friend. he works with people in Al-Anon. He's a sponsor, and he was telling me about working with this woman. And he's older than I am, and she's older than he is. And so, she was sort of recalling all the things in her life. For 35 years, you know, I suffered this. I was a victim for this. And he said, 35 years, really? Aren't you, at some point you stop being a victim and you start being a volunteer. That's a hard word. And she recoiled at that, as I probably would. I said, I would have slapped him or something. Like, what do you mean? But at some point you stop being a victim and you start being a volunteer. And when you stop being a volunteering for that role, you know, maybe Mark Twain had a piece of that. You know, the calamities are there for us to pick up or to let go. Anyway, that's a hard teaching. You have one?
Art is the means we have of undoing the damage of haste. It's what everything else isn't.
I kind of like this. Is that Theodore Retke? He's a poet. He says, art is the undoing of what's been done in haste, something like that. Art is the means we have of undoing the damage of haste. It's what everything else isn't. I like that for the last line. It's what art is what everything else isn't. If it's fast, if it's quick, if it's easy, you know, art is the slow process of creativity of and undoing some of what we do in our haste.
God is not an object, but a direction.
God is not an object, but a direction. Do you have any thought on that?
Well, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Rainer Maria Rilke, another poet. There are a lot of poets in here too, surprise, surprise. I have this sense with it, you know, God as an object, it's kind of like the teapot versus the tea. God as an object is something we can control and we can try to manipulate, even in the best way, we're going to manipulate ourselves. It's good for me to be closer to God rather than distant from God. But if God is a direction, then really it's about where what direction my energy is drawn to, or that I give myself to. I can give myself to the path that is good and loving and kind, and that, you know, I'm probably following that almost like gravity pulling me towards God. That's kind of the sense I have with that. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Holy Grail, you know. Does the journey end when I finally get to hold the cup in my hand, the teapot, or is the journey always the process of being, you know, fed on that life-giving tea, the water?
One way that I resent the fact that God is an object, but his directions I might be able to follow. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't like the object.
Thank you. So you resent the idea of God as an object.
No, I don't like the idea of having to be the object of my word.
Yeah. You learn something every day. The sermon has done its work. No, I think I... Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I kind of see it as object is the dogma, and God is love, so we are walking forward, the direction is forward into love, actually out of dogma.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, the Quran. Just thought I'd throw one in there.
Yeah. Behold, we have created you all out of a male and female, and have made you into nations and tribes, so that you might come to know one another. This community of yours is one single community. Since I am the sustainer of you all, remain then conscious of me.
Interesting. Let me tell you a minute. Take a minute to tell you how I come up with Sermon on a Stick. By the way, this reminds me of this. What I do is I look through all my journals where I take notes. I look through different emails. I get a lot of quotes almost every day from different email sources. And so this week I was going through old emails. I was going through my journals and finding notes and quotes. And you know, these are my wisdom teachers and the people that teach me along the way. And I found an email from a friend who had sent, this was actually 4 or 5 years ago. They sent it around the celebration of the 10 years after the 9/11 attack. And he said, you know, maybe in your churches sometime this week, as we're remembering this tragic event in our history, you might read some quotes from the Quran and help people in churches understand, you know, that not everything that comes out of the Quran, and in fact, most of what the Quran does is very loving and beautiful. And here's a good example of it. It's a quote from the Quran. What I found really interesting about it is it sounds like God is plural in that, right? We made you out of a male and a female. Yeah, right. I mean, a central tenet of Islam is that God is one. There is no God but Allah, or there is no God but God, and Allah is his name, basically. And the oneness, the unity, the monotheistic commitment of that religion is that God is one. But what this says is God is one, but we are many. And all these different tribes and nations have come from, you know, one male and one female. And basically what it says is, can't you all get along, right? I did this so that you would all know each other and that you are one community, one worldwide community. So that's a good reminder from an unexpected source, the Quran. If anyone wants a copy of all of these, I've got them on a sheet. If you're interested in that, I'd be glad to give it to you. Is there one more you want to share? Yeah.
Drawing on my fine command of the language, I said nothing.
Yeah. I love that. I love sarcasm and irony. Drawing on my fine command of the language, I said nothing. This also reminds me of a famous St. Francis quote, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Maybe our real command of the language is to know that you don't have to keep talking. Somebody tell the preacher that, right? Are we done yet? Can he stop talking? I think I'll take that as a hint, Drew. Kind, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Yeah. So, thank you. Well, that sermon on a stick, you get to take it with you. Let that be your instruction, your teaching, your inspiration for the day. There's so many more we didn't hear, but I'll be interested to know about them. But thank you.